Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. We'll open today's meeting with the singing of hymn 67. The race that long in darkness sat have seen a glorious light. The people dwell in day who dwelt in death's surrounding night. Hymn 67. For our words of exhortation here this morning, we will sing hymn 212. I'll read just the first line. Praise we now the King of Heaven, to his feet our tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Praise him, praise him, praise him, everlasting King. Hymn 212. It is a very special day today, for as some of you may be aware, it's Min Mortglover's birthday. She is turning 19. So today, friends and family will celebrate the day that Min was brought into this world, those 19 years ago. Not wanting to steal her thunder, it is also my birthday soon. In fact, in 2 days' time, on the 11th of December, I will be turning 8 years old. Now, you all know that I'm a bit older than that, and in fact, my birthday is in February. I am, of course, referring to the date of my rebirth through baptism. Will I get any cards through the post, or even have someone send greetings to mark the occasion? No. Why not? Surely the date of our baptism should be a date we celebrate with great enthusiasm. Whatever you do, don't look back. Someone far wiser and knowledgeable in the truth than me spoke these words to me after my baptism. Should we then celebrate the date of our baptism? Or should we never look backwards and concentrate what is in front of us? I don't think we should ever forget the exact date our lives changed for good. But in a race, the runner never concentrates on the start line, but instead on the finish. That's what we should do. We all start the same race, be it at different times, but that doesn't matter, as we will all reach the finish together. I believe the remembrance of our baptism is a personal thing, a celebration within oneself of the time spent in the truth, a reflection of how we have acted so far and what we can do with the time we have left to us.
I think that it is more important for me to dwell on the fact that a person has made the confession of their belief in the things concerning the kingdom and of Jesus Christ, rather than on the date which they did it. It is more pleasing to me to witness those younger than me here be baptized, rather than remember their day every year that it goes by. I think that it is good to remember inside someone's baptism, but it is good to openly celebrate someone's birthday. After all, it is a celebration of the life they have lived so far. We are all overjoyed when a new baby is born into a Christadelphian family, and are all pleased to see that child grow up and then come to Sunday school and learn about God. May I be as bold to say that there was joy in heaven when we were born? For God knew that we would be baptized before we were born, even before our parents and even their parents were born. It must be pleasing to the Almighty to see a child grow up to find, and more importantly, believe in the truth, and make the decision to be baptized into the saving name of Lord Jesus. I don't remember my birth. Who would? So I don't have any happy feelings of being born. Those older than me and my family would have been joyous at my birth. On my rebirth, though, I too could share in the joy that those others would also experience as I rose from the water these 8 years ago. I do, however, remember Stephen's birth, just. I'm told that I was very excited and went rushing down the hospital aisle to see my new brother. But I can tell you all that seeing him get baptized was by far a more joyous feeling. There are some brothers and sisters, I happen to know, who completely disregard their actual birthday. They do not acknowledge it at all. To them, the date they wish to be celebrated is the date of their baptism. They wish that their life pre-baptism be forgotten and only remember the time since their immersion. If asked their age, they will tell you how long it has been since they were baptized. We can't really talk about rebirth and baptism without referring to the chapter read at a baptism, Romans 6. Romans 6, verses 3-5. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So, during our baptism, it was as if we joined Christ on the cross. We were buried into his death that day, only to rise again, new, refreshed, clean from our past sins, ready to start our journey onwards in our new life, a life that would lead us in a different direction that the old life did. Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked, and though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And also Romans 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end everlasting life. Here we see Paul describing how even though we were still in fact sinners, we believed with our heart, our being, the word of God, and the message contained within. In doing so, we have become free from sin through Christ, and have now become slaves of God. We have changed masters. Before we were slaves to sin, now we are slaves to God, so we can experience his blessings. Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have been put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. So, as we know, at the point of our rebirth, brothers and sisters, witness, our old selves die as we are immersed into the waters on that day. Our old selves, the person related to the sons and daughters of man, is gone. For then to rise again from the water, still with the same name, but now renewed as a son or daughter of God. We know, of course, that this death is symbolic and that we don't physically die. But it is true to say that our minds and spirit are renewed. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul here talks of the renewing of one's mind, to reboot it, as it were, so the old corruption is wiped away, so that our minds or thoughts and intentions are more acceptable to God and not remain in tune with the world of men around us. Philemon 1 verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Baptism is a refreshment. Our love for the Lord is renewed in us all as we arose from the water. I'm sure you all experienced, as I did, a feeling of euphoria as you emerged as a new brother or sister of Christ. I honestly believe on that day I was the closest I have ever felt to perfection in my life so far. But of course I did, for I was regenerated, refreshed, and reborn all in the same instant. First Kings 13, verse 7. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. We see in this verse in 1 Kings how by refreshing ourselves we have a chance of receiving a reward. It is not only at baptism, though, that we can refresh ourselves. If or when we find ourselves straying from the path of righteousness, we can always ask God for help and for forgiveness. We can refresh our minds and motivation, turn over a new leaf, and strive onward with a new regenerative purpose to get back onto the path leading to that glorious kingdom at the end. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This brings us back to our idea of baptism being like a birthday. On our actual birthday, among the goodwill wishes, we usually receive worldly gifts, whereas in this verse, we are told that the main gift we receive on our baptism is from the Almighty himself, the chance to be considered for eternal life in his kingdom to come. After our baptism, our life starts anew. We are refreshed, and from that point on, we start our growth in our new lives. That growth never stops. I know that I am still growing in my knowledge and understanding in the truth. But I don't think I am wrong in saying that even those here that have been in the truth much longer than I have even lived are still growing. New links in scripture and deeper understanding still comes to all who read and study God's word, no matter what their spiritual age. Another thing that has been pointed out to me in the past is that in the years preceding baptism, we are like toddlers in the truth. In the early years, we may not get living in the truth quite right. We make mistakes due to an immaturity, like a young child does. But we learn from our mistakes, and it usually strengthens us for the future. Also, as a parent forgives a child that has done wrong, our Father in heaven is prepared to forgive us of our wrongdoing as long as we repent for our sins. It can be, and maybe will always be, a learning curve for all of us throughout our whole lives. We are always tested to see, as it were, if lessons we have learned have sunk in, and we can control ourselves and conduct our actions in a Christ-like manner. Again, if we pass a particular test, then proud will our Father in heaven be. I've also noticed within my own life how our actual age can play an important role in our understanding of Scripture. Many of us, though I appreciate not all, were baptized in our teens or early 20s. Old enough to know that we wanted Christ in our lives and possessed the maturity to understand what life we would be required to live. I must admit that my knowledge and understanding of the principles of the truth are far greater or deeper now than when I was baptized. When I was in my very early 20s, I admit that I never read some of the books I got given at my baptism, as I didn't feel I could understand them. They delved deeper into the truth than I felt capable of understanding. Now, however, I feel that I have started to grasp a deeper understanding of Scripture. This may be because I have had to study for Bible classes and exhortations, but I personally think that it is because of my age. I am not far off from 30, and in the recent years I have felt myself mature in my actions and understandings of the world. So is turning 30 significant? Well, one thing that I'd never really thought about until recently was that Christ was 30 when he started his ministry. There may well be other reasons for this, but I feel that it was not until he was that age did he have the maturity to undergo the task that he had before him. Another example is that of Timothy. It has been proposed that he, in fact, was in his late 20s or early 30s when he was a companion of Paul on his third missionary journey. Another prompt to suggest that it takes an actual age or maturity level to understand Scripture as well as a spiritual age. The older we get, the more experiences we have to turn back to. So greater our understanding can become. But we are also aware we only have a set amount of time given to us. Even though we have been born and reborn, eventually we still have to die. I have been to both Christadelphian funerals and church funerals. There is such an obvious difference, which I know others have also observed. We mostly all know the attendees of a Christadelphian funeral, and the brother asked to lead the service usually knows the deceased very well. In a church service, the vicar refers to the deceased as a brother or sister, but to them, running the funeral is their job. There's usually no association with the deceased or the family on a personal level. I have noticed that people are very, very sad at church funerals. Yet they speak of heaven going and are waiting for loved ones in paradise. Then why is it always so somber? Surely if they truly believed in their convictions and had a hope, then surely they wouldn't suffer such sadness. I imagine the reason for this is because they wear their faith as a thin cloak, and deep down they don't actually believe in what the church proclaim. Compare that, if you will, to a Christadelphian service. Yes, we are sad to lose someone, but there is nothing wrong with that. Remember, even Jesus wept at the loss of Lazarus. However, we all have such a firm hope in Jesus and the kingdom to come that we know that our loved ones are but sleeping, awaiting a rebirth again when Christ returns. We can even feel a sense of relief or happiness as we know that that person is no longer suffering the evils of this world and is at peace until that glorious day to come. So we see that there is yet another time of rebirth for those that sleep. But this will be the final time that rebirth will occur. For those that sleep will rise again mortal, but we will be brought into the presence of Jesus to hopefully be welcomed with open arms to be immortal by his side. This morning, I have hopefully made you think back to your own baptisms, to dwell on how special that occasion was for you. Also, the wonderful hope we all share that was only obtainable through the water we were buried and risen again from. I also hope that I have fulfilled my role as the exhorting brother to bring our minds together to think about our Saviour Christ, what the belief and faith in him means to us, about the kingdom to come, and the sacrifice he so selflessly made so that we can have a chance to be with him in paradise. In a few weeks, the majority of the Christian world will be celebrating what they believe to be Christ's birthday. Yes, the birth of Christ is important to us, but not as important as what we will be remembering in a few minutes. His self-sacrifice, in his death on the cross, and his resurrection. We will remember Christ now, as we know that only through him do we have that chance of salvation, a chance to be renewed once again, but this time to perfection. After the disciples had shared the feast with Christ, they went out and sung a hymn. We will now do the same by singing hymn 259. Lord, thy death and resurrection, we show this day. It's a tribute of affection that all should pay. Wine outpoured, bread now broken, of thy sacrifice the token. Even so, as thou hast spoken, we will obey.
Bring our meeting together to a close through a word of prayer by Brother Duncan, please.
after we have sung hymn 119, and I believe it's to the second tune. Thy kingdom come, O Lord, thy rule, O Christ, begin. Break with thine iron rod the tyrannies of sin.